Hello.
Here.
How are you, Patrice?
I am well. How about you?
I'm fantastic, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
My IT guy's gonna leave, so
We good? We good?
I'm good. Take
Bye, IT
care.
guy.
Have
Will do, sir. Do you have any questions before we start?
No, not at all. Not unless you have anything for me that I need to know.
No, we're gonna hang out.
Okay, I can do that.
All right, let's do that. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast. I am Rashawn Parker, and we're going to talk about all things service industry related and whatever else we feel like talking about. If you haven't yet, please go watch my television series, Beyond the Check Worker Earner Edition, now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. Tubi TV, it is free TV. Lots of fantastic chef owners. Go check them out. I have a wonderful guest today. She is the CEO of McCabe Productions. They have a new series out called RV There Yet, where they're traveling the country and finding all kinds of really cool places and states that you just don't think that you would want to travel to, but now maybe you're going to. Ladies and gentlemen, Patrice McCabe.
Hello. What an intro. Thank you. Yes, all the fun places we get to go.
And you've been all over. Me and my wife watched I think most of the series already.
Which one was your favorite? I'll tell you which one was my favorite was Nebraska. Like you said, lots of places you didn't think you wanted to go. That one would be my favorite.
I'm really into space camp, so I wanted to go to space camp when I was a kid. So the whole space one was one of my favorites. I also watched your blooper reels. I feel like there could have been a lot more bloopers.
There could have been. Let me tell you, season one, we were also a little uptight that nobody was, loose enough to mess up. All of us were saying, when we camp and hike normally, we're just a bunch of knuckleheads and goofballs. And season one filming, trying to figure out a lot of things and logistics. Nobody was loose enough. Yeah, I think, because I don't care.
I completely understand that because like season one of my show, even like in post-production, like I was very like we took out all the bloopers, all the like funny stuff, like it all got cut, and that was a mistake. And in season two, there was one episode where I just left all the mess ups in, and that's like everybody's favorite episode. So season three, I'm leaving all the mistakes in.
Yeah, you're so stiff in season one, and you want to. It's like meeting your in-laws for the first time. You just want to really be perfect, and everybody wants you to be human. And we all make mistakes. Yeah, there were some missed gems, especially the black tank fiasco. Good Lord, if we could have been rolling on something, that would have been wonderful. But we would have. That would have been gold.
You're never rolling when you wish you were rolling either. That's the other caveat, is that
Right, new rule, GoPro, at least a GoPro will be on everything at all times.
right? All the time. It's just
Right.
so much storage then.
I know, I hear you. But season one was fun. It was only six episodes because of the pandemic, kind of delayed us, kept delay when we could get out and some of the travel restrictions. So only six episodes for season one. Season two is in the works right now, just getting logistics and places we're going to be going locked in. And that'll be 13 episodes.
Oh,
So that'll
you're going on real trips.
right. Really.
So you're on Motor Trend TV. So that's
Correct.
fun. They got you they give you really nice like the RV's comfortable.
The RV's comfortable. I'm in it right now,
Oh,
actually.
you are in
Yeah,
it.
I would be fun to be doing it in here. We have our studio on property, and we have a place to keep our RV. So we often come in here and do Zoom meetings with, the our advertisers and things like that. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's the pseudo office as well.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's good to get out of the office. And then I can kind of feel like I'm going to be on the road. And, you know, I get excited when I'm in here. It's my happy place. So sometimes happy hour is out here.
You know, there you
we'll go. Just grab some wine. And what we call happy hour food is schnickens. That's kind of our word. We're like, hey, you just want some schnickens for dinner?
What is a schnicken?
Schnickens is just finger food or, you know, like a charcuterie board or just like a snack board.
Okay.
Schnickens.
It can be, it's like the stone soup of just snack plates.
Right, right. And it's just a little bite of something, you know, and if you're not really hungry for dinner we're in Tampa. And so in the summer, it's just so hot here and you never really want a big dinner. So we usually do a lot of just schnicken dinners. It's fun to say.
It's not chicken, people. It's schnicken.
Schnickens.
It's a variety of things.
Right. It's lots of little bites.
Well, that's fun. Do you eat a lot of schnickens on the road?
We do. Yep. And my favorite thing to do is go find, you know, new schnickens and, you know, like pepper jellies and jams and pickled stuff. And, you know, when you go into a local market or like a historic downtown district, or even the farmer stands, you know, when you're rolling through some of the Southwest or just to go pick up fresh fruit or fresh vegetables and just see what's local. That's my number one favorite part about traveling is food. That's the incentive really to get me to go anywhere.
I didn't see you guys eating very much in season one.
No, you didn't.
We're going to be eating some food in season two?
Yes, sir. And more campfire stuff, more cooking around the campfire. You know, again, season one was just kind of figuring it out. We had to have the episodes ready. It airs first on Discovery. And so by January 1, we had to have the episodes ready. So it rolled out 6 weeks on Discovery and then 6 weeks on Motor Trend. And we're got one more episode on Motor Trend. And, you know, still figuring out the format. So we had a lot of kind of sponsor obligations that first season. Just show them what we could do for them.
Get it done.
Yeah, season two is we're going to loosen up, make some mistakes.
It's going to be a party.
Yeah, and have a campfire party. So I'm definitely going to cook more and definitely going to be, you know, around the campfire a lot more.
We just campfired it. It was my wife's birthday. So we had a little bonfire and friends over and made s'mores around the campfire for probably the first time in years.
Yeah.
S'mores are good.
Doesn't it just taste like your childhood? Like you just take a bite and you're like, oh man, why haven't I done this?
I mean, just you know, even just like starting the fire, right? Because I don't know why. It sometimes it's too cold to have a fire, and then it's too hot to have a fire, right? When you live in the South, so it's we found just the perfect like you know spring evening to like light the fire and pretend to be Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts again.
It's awesome, and it changes the whole mood. You get a little bit of music going, and instantly you're happy.
Do you have any favorite places that you've dined in some of the like off the beaten path of Nebraska per se? Like,
well, Nebraska, yes. It's always I'm from Nebraska, so going home, I always have to have what we have a specialty out there called Runza.
Runza.
It's funza to say. But
everything you eat is funza to say.
It should be. it's a cabbage and meat and onions and spices all rolled in this bread pocket kind of thing. And you cannot get it outside of Nebraska unless you order it and have it shipped to your house. But always have to go do a runza, and they have the best onion rings. And
sounds very German.
Very Czech, Polish. Czech, Polish. Yeah. A lot of that was Nebraska settlers. Still a very big Czech population in Nebraska. And a lot of that same kind of food. Really good, home cooked. But other than that, I would say, have to say the Southwest.
And it's kind of the same climate too, right? So.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. So the pickling could just went so well. just for the colder climate.
Well, they settled where they probably felt comfortable and knew, you know, the seasons and knew how to behave in those seasons and plant and all that. So that's always on my list. And my husband always knows that that's part of the trip when we go back, when we go back to Nebraska. So, but for me, I guess a surprise flavor or surprise food was visiting the Southwest. All those chilies and spices and the Hatch chilies were a big thing. And to this day, I still order from a chili farm out there to get them shipped out so I can.
What's a Hatch chili?
What's that?
Hatch chili?
Hatch chili is a special kind of chili. It's just like a jalapeno or the serranos. It's just got a special flavor, and they dry them. And they make a powder out of them, and they're a little spicy.
But not too spicy.
Not too spicy. I like it. I like heat, but I don't like burning my face off. So
I like heat, and I don't even mind too spicy. It's the after effect.
Yeah.
The heat in the mouth is okay. It's what happens afterwards. It's usually the most painful. But fun fact about peppers, though, pepper is the number one aphrodisiac food on the planet. I mean,
I can see why. I mean, everything kind of gets on fire a little bit. So,
just cause all the flushing stuff. And, I hung out with an aphrodisiac chef who told me all about the magic of peppers.
Oh, very good info to have.
So you're welcome. Next time you're in the Southwest and you're wondering why you're feeling so frisky, it's probably maybe because of all the peppers.
Maybe that's why I really have fond memories.
Was there any states you got to go to that you hadn't been to yet?
Yes, actually. We're talking to a state up in the Northeast, Maine. None of us have been to Maine. I've been Vermont, New Hampshire, but not Maine. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, you definitely want to go swimming in the ocean while you're there.
Okay.
No, yeah, you don't. I went as a kid, and we camped on the beach in Maine. And there was this little island that was like just off the coast, and you could see it. And I was just determined that I was going to get to that island. And my dad's like, "You're not going to get to that island." And I was like, "I'm going to swim to that island." He's like, "You're not going to make it like 2 feet to that island." And I'm like, "I'm going to." And I got in the water and I turned immediately back around.
Right.
Really cold.
It is. You know, we were in Indiana at the Sand Dunes National Park a couple years ago, and it's on Lake Michigan. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. It almost looked like we were in the tropics. It was just blue water, blue sky, gorgeous. And so we were sticking our feet in, and you get to your ankles, and by the time you're standing there for 30 seconds, your toes are frozen off. You know,
feet are blue.
Yeah. No. Well, my husband's from Florida. He grew up in Cocoa Beach, so there's no way he would do that either.
So you enjoyed Maine then?
well, we have to see it. You know, we have to get.
Oh, you haven't been yet.
No, we have not been.
Oh, you have not been yet. No. Oh, okay, lobster.
Oh yeah,
lobster.
Yeah, lobster.
Yeah, got to get the whole lobster.
Oh yeah, and the clams. Yeah, I love the cold water clams. Up, I used to go to New Hampshire a lot as a kid. New Jersey, you know, all that cold water seafood is just delicious. So, yeah. Give me some lobster. We'll make some good schnickens.
Do me a favor. If Motor Trend gives you a boat and you see a little island somewhere off the coast, just go say hello to it for me. you guys got to ride fun little bikes around, which made me jealous because I feel like I was putting in way too much work and you didn't seem to have to put in that much work. That was fun. How'd that come about?
That is Rad Electric. Bikes, the power bikes, and we have a friend of ours that actually rents Rad bikes out in Kauai. He lives on the island, and he said, "Listen, knowing that we were going to be, you know, out and filming and had the crew and everybody, just having something that we could get around easily. Well, it turned out to be just a bunch of kids on their bikes. Like, you got your new 10 speed. It is so convenient, so much fun. You can work at it if you want to. You don't have to be.
You can get a little exercise if you feel like it.
Yes. I always do, because that way I can have an extra glass of wine or an extra bite of dessert. You know, I can, you know, quiet the voices by doing a few more pedals.
I mean, you're already there. You're already on the bike. You might as well, right?
Exactly. But I mean, it opened up so much for us. I mean, we did all of the Grand Canyon, which we have hiked it number of times. I mean, I don't know how many miles we've hiked in the Grand Canyon over the years, but the bikes just were a surprise, just a delight.
A godsend. You see the whole Grand Canyon in a day instead of...
Pretty much. I mean, you could go right from the RV campground all the way up Hermit's Rest, which is, I think, 8 miles and back. And they have the new greenway where you can be right up on the rim. And it's just, it really did, you know, and it, after a whole day of hiking, you can get on it and go to the store, you know, and not feel like your feet are going to fall off. And
right.
You know, it's really good. That was probably... Could be one of the highlights of this whole season was having those bikes.
Technology. Didn't even know.
Oh, who knew? And I'm such a purist with technology. That's why I had my IT guy in here hooking me up. Because I'd go back to a phone on the wall in a heartbeat. But I did like the rad bikes.
cord and all, huh?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you had to haul the phone around the house, and the cord had to be like 200 feet long in order for it, because there was only one phone in the house, and it had to get moved around from like room to room.
Yeah, but if you wanted privacy, you had to shut it in the door and hope you didn't crack the cord. Yeah, I remember.
Rotary, you had to watch the wheel spin.
Oh, and anybody who had a zero in their number was...
Like, how dare you? Do you know how long it takes me to call you?
Yeah.
Things people will just never remember.
We'll never know. I remember not having a microwave, you know, and to this day, when I went to go put in double ovens in our house, we ripped out the microwave, and I still don't have a microwave in our house.
Really?
And yeah.
So
I don't miss it. I don't miss it.
See, ours just broke like a month ago, and it took like 3 weeks for us to get the new one because just like supply chain issues and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And because I had to have the hood fan on the bottom, right? Like, it's whatever. And for those 3 weeks, I just to heat up, like, I was amazed. How did we live without microwaves before? All I want to do is warm up my cup of coffee, and now I got to get out a pan and heat it up and dirty pan and then put it in it. What in the world? How did we live?
How did we do this? I'm telling you, everything tastes better, though, when you heat it up the old way. I mean, it just, I know.
I microwaved this right before I came in the office.
I know.
But, I mean, I would still warm up soup in a pan, you know. But, like, if I'm going to make, rewarm, like, frozen soup or something, I'll heat it up in the pan. But, yeah, I don't just... Toaster oven's my favorite.
Oh, I love toaster oven. My new, I cannot even travel. I have one just for the RV, is my air fryer.
Yep, love the air fryer.
And I know that it's kind of a trendy thing, but right now, but I'm telling you.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. French fries and tater tots and that.
Onion rings. Perfect.
Just eat
it. Yeah. We have the Ninja 5-in-1. What you get?
Oh, gosh, I have just a tiny one for in here, and then I don't even know what I have in there.
We got the one that has the grill attachment.
Oh, no, so I'm not
like,
that
big. So you, like, flip it over, and it grills.
Yeah. Have you tried chickpeas? Do olive oil and a ton of spices, whatever spices you want, and then you put it in the bottom of the air fryer, and you become, like, crunchy little nugget. Oh!
Yeah. Air fryers. Yeah.
Air fryers.
You do like a little technology.
You know, in bits.
Though it is, I mean, truth be told, it's nothing but a like super fast convection oven, right?
Well. Yeah. I love a convection oven. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know how I would live without my air fryer now. Like French fries, you rewarming French fries? You would never do that before. You're never going to like save the French fries and warm them up again. No.
Yeah, at a restaurant, you're like,
nah, right? But now.
Now, don't touch it.
No, they're like brand new.
Yeah.
Love it. So do you cook on the RV? Do you cook on the RV a lot?
Yeah, I do. One of the reasons why we got an RV, we've been RVing since 2004. And we bought it when we were, we've been producing TV for about 22 years.
You had a fishing show.
We had a fishing show. And with that, we were doing boat shows and trade shows and filming from Texas all the way up to New York, really all saltwater states. And we were just starting out, so we thought what better way was to haul our trade show booth behind the RV and hit the road. I was also diagnosed with thyroid cancer the year after we started all of it. And to me, when I looked around at the hospital and it was women my age, I thought, well, what happened in our lifespan so far that why am I seeing women my age? And I just kept researching food and things we were putting in our bodies and re-looked at my, you know, kitchen and my pantry and decided, you know, no more processed foods, you know, no more white sugar and things like that. So really it was important to me to be able to travel and have our food and have control of it and, you know, plus sleep in your own sheets and, you know, who's been touching the remote.
And you kicked its butt?
I did. Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Hell yeah, Patrice. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and I feel like I'm healthier because of it. You know, it made me really focus on staying healthy and being fit. And so, and really watching what we put in our bodies, you know, still have fun, still enjoy life and have that, you know, ice cream treat or whatever every now and then. But for the most part, being able to control our own food. So I learned how to cook, you know, and have good food here on the RV. A lot of it is prep. A lot of it is what you do before you, you know, load up. And I'm able to, you know, make a lot of our stuff and freeze it and pack it along with us. And so all I have to do is reheat it or...
Not in the microwave, though. Though I do see I do see a microwave up there in the corner.
It's a convection oven, though, too.
Oh, is it? Okay.
But, you know, tin foil is my best friend because you can do anything out on the open flame. And it tastes better, too, as long as you wrap it enough times in tin foil.
Right. Just throw the potato in the fire, come back in 30 minutes. The corn. Yeah.
Oh, all of it tastes so good.
Just roll it around in some coals.
Yep.
Man, I'm a little jealous now.
So am I. I'm not going to be on the road probably for, oh gosh, till May. So we're home just getting everything ready for season two. So
that's fun. So I want to talk a little bit more about like what it's like to, you know, if you're going to go on a road trip in an RV, what are some like just fun tips and tricks such as the tinfoil to to feed your family? Without having to go to the restaurants and stop at Applebee's for dinner every night.
Yeah, you know, for me it's prep because certainly after a day of work or even a day of hiking, who wants to just work a whole lot more? So I make a lot of chili or spaghetti sauce homemade and then freeze it laying flat. And then that way it, you know, kind of files in and fits in the freezer real good. I get a lot of... chicken breasts, and I individually wrap those up so that you can pull out as many as you need. Grilling is just a big deal. You know, when we're here, I want to be outside enjoying. So I try to do as much as I can out there. We have a little portable grill with a griddle. And, you know, from breakfast to lunch, dinner. And then on your way, don't be afraid to stop at some local flavors, you know, or those farmers markets and pick up some little extras. One of my favorite things is jams and jellies from the areas because they always use the fruit, you know. Down here in the South, a lot of kumquat trees, so they're kumquat jellies. You know, if you're from Arizona, you're going to...
like, a what? You know, what is that? Different.
You can make barbecue sauces with that jelly. I've made vinaigrettes with the jelly, you know, just a little tablespoon of the jelly with your favorite vinegar and oil, salt and pepper, and it just changes everything. You know, grill up vegetables and make a hot salad with that vinaigrette. Yeah, you're lucky I ate lunch before I was here.
I did not. And I'm going grocery shopping right after this.
Oh, definitely eat something or else you're dangerous. You're dangerous.
It's very dangerous. It is very dangerous.
Yeah.
Life on the Road. Tips and Tricks by Patrice McCabe, everybody.
I love snacks. As many snacks too as we can, you know, always having nuts, a good protein snack or a really good jerky that doesn't have a lot of the nitrates, you know, something, and definitely drinking a ton of water.
Another thing you can make in your air fryer.
There you go.
Make your own jerky. Go. Yeah. Use your bigger one at the house before you leave, make a bunch of it. And you got
jerky
for the road.
Now I'm Googling jerky recipes. Could be Googling jerky.
I guess Florida, you got a lot of hunters down there or anything?
We sure
deer
do.
Deer jerky.
Deer jerky. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not always big on venison, like steak, or I don't mind like a chili, but like the jerky, you cannot go wrong, you know, turning into jerky. Because
we have chickens, so I usually trade eggs for ground venison from a friend of mine. So
You're a chicken lady as well, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat fresh eggs. I mean, it is wonderful. And chickens are easy. We can go on a trip. All I need is somebody to, you know, walk over and check on them and make sure they have water and some food. And they get to keep the eggs while we're gone. So,
all right. Have you ever heard of Lisa Steele?
No.
She is the queen of the coop. She's she literally is like the number one authority on chicken, on backyard chickening.
Right on.
She'll air on my Easter episode.
I'm gonna put it in my phone right now.
So she's the egg lady. She has a blog and a book.
Awesome. It's going on now. Lisa Steele. Awesome.
And so that'll actually air on Easter. So I'm saving it because she's the egg lady. So I figure eggs
I'll be watching.
Easter, so
I'll be watching.
She has a new cookbook out. I'm trying to find it in my notes from before, but she's gonna kill me.
You can make it up to her in your hour with her.
Right. Anyway. So you're gonna get to go I'm surprised you didn't go fishing. I didn't make it to Maine for any of the fishing
show. No, not yet. Just a little bit at the Space Coast episode, the campground we were in is all included. You've got your own fishing pier. Oh, go ahead.
Fresh eggs daily. I just remembered. I didn't even see in my notes. It just popped back into my head. Fresh eggs daily.
Okay, good one.
Sorry, go ahead.
I know. I feel your pain. You got to get it out when it pops in. This Space Coast episode, Kevin got to do a little fishing off the pier. Actually caught a Spanish mackerel right off the pier there. That campground is so cool because you've got your own private beach, you've got your own campground, fishing pier, and you can sit out there and watch the cruise ships come by right out of the port. And these things are massive. They're like skyscrapers just floating by you.
Oh yeah, I'm in Savannah. And so have you ever been over here?
Yeah.
So we got the containers coming through. I remember when I first moved here and I was working on the river and the boats would come by and the bar would have boat shots. So they'd just be like dollar shots every time like a boat
We've actually fished in Tybee Island on the fishing show. We were right off of Savannah.
Oh, yeah.
We fished off of there with a charter captain that's based out of there, out of Tybee. American Fishing Charters.
American Fishing Charters in Tybee. Yeah. I'm about 15 minutes from Tybee right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We love Savannah. I mean, it is such a cool place, and definitely getting to be more foodie oriented. I mean, it's awesome.
Oh, it is. I secretly, I like to go to Hilton Head better. But also Hilton Head, lets my dogs hang out on the beach, and Tybee doesn't let dogs on the beach. So take that, Tybee.
Right. I mean, all about the dogs.
Right. And you would think it'd be the other way around because, like, Hilton Head is, you know, like golf cart Riviera.
You're right.
Whereas, like, Tybee is redneck Riviera. And so you would think that the dogs would be more welcome in redneck Riviera. But no, the golfers love the dogs. Like, bring the dogs. Bring them to the beach. Yeah, it's fine.
Right up. But then Hilton Head gets my vote.
So what any other out of the way places you're planning for season two?
New Mexico, which is so wonderfully weird and beautiful. There's so much in there that we haven't seen. So definitely New Mexico. We are going to be going back to Nebraska. So yeah,
back to Nebraska.
There's
North Dakota. I'm very curious. What is in North Dakota? I don't know.
Let me tell you, I've been trying to get somebody in North Dakota to answer me back because I thought the same thing. Is, you know, we would love to show people North Dakota.
It's like Canada, but in America. Maybe. I don't know. I've never been to North Dakota. It's Fargo. Fargo's in North Dakota, right?
Yes, but you got to say it right. You got to say Fargo.
Fargo. Did I say it right?
No,
Fargo.
Fargo.
Fargo. That's the best. That's the best. That's the best Canadian accent I can do, eh? Hey, that wasn't bad. Did your family, does Nebraska have an accent?
Very Midwest, not as Midwest as Minnesota or, you know, Fargo, but, you know, still very, very Midwest. Occasionally I get called out that I've said it very Midwest, but I don't think so. We say pop instead of soda.
I'm so confused about what I even say anymore. Like, I think I used to say pop as a kid.
Where did you grow up?
Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, very, very just normal American accent. We say milk though.
Milk. Yeah. Milk.
My wife hates that. She's like, it's milk. I'm like, milk. She's like, no, it's milk. Milk.
I know. Yeah, there's nothing really weird that we say. Yeah. I don't think so. Well, I'd go Big Red, but other than that.
I don't think you have an accent.
Okay. Mm. Good.
I mean, maybe after a couple glasses of wine, you know.
Possibly. I might start sounding like Sarah Palin or something. I don't know.
Because my wife's from here, so she's from Savannah, so you don't know. She doesn't really have an accent normally, but after a couple of glasses, all of a sudden she's Southern. I'm like, well, hey, you are Southern.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'll accidentally throw on this sometimes,
you just went right into that,
right? But this is how people from like some parts of Ohio talk is like this.
Well, the closer you get to Kentucky, yeah.
Uh-huh. Or West Virginia. Yeah. You know, but Columbus, Ohio. This is your basic. Okay. This is your basic, just normal.
Yeah. The other two people you saw in season one with us are Dave and Carla Birch. And they actually retired. He is from The Ohio State University. He, you know, is a Buckeye. But they lived right across the border from Ohio and Kentucky, but grew up Ohio, Kentucky, and then have retired and moved out to Arizona. So I'm very familiar with the Ohio folks.
We have four major cities, okay? Four.
Cincinnati is a super cool city.
And they were just in the Super Bowl.
I know.
How is that even possible? I still haven't wrapped my head around it. They didn't win.
I'm so happy for that, Joe Burrow.
He's from Athens, Ohio, and that's where my family lives, where Ohio University is.
Okay.
Not Ohio State, but Ohio University. And he's from there. He went to Athens High School. And so everybody from my hometown, I'm actually from California, but where my family has been for a very long time, was just losing their shit, right? Like, you know, he's a hometown celebrity from this super tiny little town.
Yeah.
In Southeast Ohio.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, and that's another, I mean, I would love to go to Cincinnati and go to Ohio and, you know, you've got your own chili and the way you serve it there on spaghetti noodle.
Skyline chili, I think.
Skyline chili. So we were filming in Nebraska at Arbor Lodge. And when we showed up, the coordinator that was going to do the interview with us and tell us about the mansion there, she shows up in these bicycle bloomers circa 1890s. Mm-hmm. And she was a hoot. But her whole thing was she wanted Skyline chili when she found out Dave and Carla were from Ohio. So we sent her a case of Skyline chili cans.
That was nice of you.
She really put it out there. She showed up in these bicycle bloomers and wore them well, and it was a blast. So
Skyline chili, the In-N-Out burger of Ohio. Yeah, that was what the Arbor Day started there, right? That was
right.
Because there wasn't trees there.
No, the Mortons moved out there, and I believe they were coming from Chicago. And once they got out there, and he was a contractor, I believe, for Fort Kearney at the time, and he realized that the wind out there is brutal. There was nothing to stop it. So they said, if we want to thrive out here and we want to stay here, we need to plant. So they spurred the Arbor Day movement. That first year that they planted 1 million trees in the late 1800s. For them to spread the word and get 1 million trees planted was pretty impressive.
Some real life Johnny Appleseed stuff.
Exactly. Now it's just, it's all over the world, you know, and it's celebrated. So way to go, Nebraska.
Right? I mean, I feel like we probably should have been appreciating the trees before, but now we have a whole day dedicated to it.
Right?
But it's any day is a good day to go hug a tree, guys.
Hug a tree or smell a tree. If you haven't,
one of my favorite.
Yeah. The ponderosa pines out west are my favorite thing to smell. I always say I wasn't gifted this nose if I didn't enjoy smelling so much. It's kind of an Italian curse in my family. But
that's how you cook so well.
Oh, yes, I guess. But I've been walking around all my life with this, so... But smelling the ponderosa pines are just incredible. So if you're hiking the Grand Canyon or anywhere in the Southwest, stop and smell a ponderosa pine. It'll either smell like vanilla or butterscotch.
Really?
And yes, I'm not lying. It's fantastic.
I feel like I've never smelled a ponderosa pine. Now I got to go find one.
Yeah, now you're just going to be walking around. They're gonna call the cops on you. There's a guy walking around just smelling... My neighborhood.
Excuse me, sir. Do you mind if I just sniff your tree real quick? I promise it'll be quick. It's not creepy at all, I swear.
It's not creepy at all.
I was born in the Redwoods and Sonoma County, California.
Wow. I've not seen them. Oh, on my list. That's coming.
You've never been to the Redwoods?
Never.
Oh, you gotta go. I mean, and if you can't make it, just watch Return of the Jedi. Because that's where they shot it.
I want to see them. I want to see him in person. I am a tree hugger. I got to go meet him.
You're not going to get your arms.
No.
No. You're going to need the whole crew to just hug the tree.
Right. Oh.
They're so tall too. It's like being in New York City, but it's trees and it's just way up there. They're so high. It's crazy.
Impressive.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, so if we hadn't wiped out all the forests, we would have these huge, amazing trees like all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, so good. And then when you come back, you know, let's say to Florida, and we've got pretty tall pines, but yeah, as you know, in Savannah.
Yeah, we got the pines. Pines next to palm trees. It's very.
Yeah.
Nobody expects that. Like when people come to the South and not from the South, they like expect palm trees, right? And then it's just pine trees all over the place. I'm like, oh, I expected. No, we're still in America.
Yeah.
Pine is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Though I do prefer the palm trees. I don't, but pine trees are a real pain in the butt.
They're messy.
They're messy. They're messy. Yeah. Good fire starter though.
Oh yeah.
All the pine straw. Like I have so much pine straw in my backyard.
And those logs, when the logs of the pine trees burn, that's all the pops and the snaps that you hear the sugar in.
And you get the pine smoke scent. Out of it too, right? So,
yeah.
Scratch and sniff fire.
You go first.
Paper, rock, scissors. That's fun. Well, you're gonna have to get Motor Trend to send you to the Redwoods because you can also try wine and you know fun things across Sonoma. And I was born in Monte Rio. Which is a very tiny, tiny little. I mean, I haven't been there in 30 years.
Wow.
But I remember it being a very tiny, tiny town.
I like the small towns. I like I like getting out of the cities. You know, when you're younger, yeah, I like going and seeing the things and, you know, crossing it off the list. But I love getting out in those small towns because they still keep a lot of the traditions and just walking into the little unassuming dive bars or, you know, and they just, that's where the traditions are kept alive, you know?
That's where the people are.
Yeah, yeah.
That you actually want to talk to.
Yeah, exactly. Or just watch.
Or just, yeah, very entertaining crowd.
Yeah. Speaking of wineries, we did do Virginia. We went up to the Blue Ridge up there and we shot a lot of our promo videos and pilot up there before the series. And one of our cameramen was up there and was his suggestion. And we got to go on a vineyard, the King's Family Vineyard up there. And it's in Crozet and it's C-R-O-Z-E-T, but I believe they call it Crozet. I don't know.
Crozet.
But it's, I mean, Virginia is becoming one of the big wine producers. They've got a lot of vineyards out there, and it was really impressive.
You just don't think that the temperate is not temperate.
You think in California, yeah, but you know, this was I probably had some of the best red blend there that I've ever had it, and I don't like I can't drink white wine. For some reason, Chardonnays and all that give me a headache. But give me a red, I'm good. But I could, their Chardonnay was very easy.
Too much sugar because you don't need that much sugar.
It must be. I don't know what it is.
Because the sugar content from red to white is exorbitant.
Oh, okay. Well, then that might do it. But give me a red anytime.
Me too. My wife's a Sauvignon Blanc girl, which I like grapefruits, so I'm into that on occasion.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of grapefruits, but
no, we grew up with eating grapefruits with the grapefruit spoon.
Oh yeah, my mom had those.
Yeah, little serrated, spoon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Made specifically for grapefruit.
Yeah. How much sugar did you put on top of it?
I didn't. I mean, there was times when we tried it. But like that was usually at my grandpa's house. But honestly, I don't put anything on my corn either. My grandpa always puts salt on watermelon as well. You ever do that?
Oh, Yeah, they do that down here in this. I've never seen that. I mean, down here is
it's good. It doesn't need it.
It doesn't need it.
But it's good because, you know, salt just brings out flavor. So it does give it this, you know, it gives it a salty tang to your watermelon. Yeah. Try it on one bite sometime just so you can say you tried it.
Okay. I had an uncle who used to mow his yard or his land. He'd sit on his riding tractor and he'd have a green apple in one hand and his salt shaker in the other hand. And my Uncle Pete used to eat his apple like that. Oh, my word.
I mean, I don't know. I guess stuff didn't have much flavor back in the day.
Who knows? Maybe he was just weird. I don't know.
Like, I'll eat corn right off the cob. You don't even have to cook it. Like, if it's like, you know, fresh right off the ear off the corn. Mm-hmm. Delicious. Mm.
I agree.
And then people cover it in salt and butter. And it's just like, why? It's so good by itself.
Yeah. I love fresh tomatoes, like summer tomatoes, just anything fresh, any of the gorgeous vegetables, you know, when you can grow them right. And not the store-bought kind. I feel like the store-bought tomatoes don't taste like tomatoes anymore.
No, and they're always white on the inside, which is weird. Yeah. Like, tomatoes are supposed to be red.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Roma is about, you know, but even those seem like they're flavorless and like, yeah.
Yeah.
Really sad for the vegetables at the store now.
Right? And then we also have this talk around the campfire after a bottle of wine or so. We have a chat about the underappreciated vegetables. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are so many underappreciated ones.
Go on.
Like eggplant, you know, mm-hmm. on a grill. It's just wonderful. And radishes, you know, they're kind of underappreciated. So.
Zucchini, squash.
Zucchini.
Everyone,
Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I don't think they're underappreciated. I think they just get a bad rep from half the population.
I know. Air fryer Brussels sprouts. Have you done this one?
Yeah, I have actually. And I think people who don't like Brussels sprouts just haven't discovered balsamic reduction. So.
Yeah, or the air fryer.
The air fryer with balsamic. Because it really does just. Oh, it's like candy. It's like almost, it's healthy candy.
Yeah.
All crispy and then like, because, you know, that balsamic's sweet and candy. Yeah. Like, yeah. Japan, now I want to go fry some Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. Now you're gonna go to the store first and you're going to buy like 5 bags of Brussels sprouts.
I already have the balsamic reduction, so we're halfway there.
We're having Brussels sprouts for dinner.
What are you having for dinner?
So my house smells insane right now because I've had, short ribs in the crock pot since this morning, in a, vanilla porter and onions and garlic, and that's it. It's been in there and then I'm making a cabbage hash, just sauteing it with some onions, a little bit of vinegar, kind of like a sauerkraut, but a hot sauerkraut.
Yeah.
And
can I come over for dinner?
Yeah, come on, bring your Brussels sprout and balsamic production.
Done. I love a good potluck.
Yeah, and a homemade not soda bread, but like a beer bread instead of the leavening, you just use a little bit of beer. And I always do something very traditional for St. Patty's Day. Always have an Irish feast. My dad was Irish, born on St. Patrick's Day. And every year my mom's Italian. She used to attempt to make a dinner in his honor on his birthday. And she would always make boiled ham and cabbage. Mm-hmm. And it was boiled with potatoes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My grandpa made that.
I think this day is probably why I don't like ham. I blame it on that. And so... it was just, as a kid, you didn't, when you came home from school and you smelled that.
Oh, it smells terrible.
Oh, no. So I've always, you know, kind of really big on flavor and this is, every year we always have something. I'm also making like a really spicy, get you right in the sinus, horseradish sauce for the short ribs.
Oh, so, I am very jealous of your dinner right now.
Come on over.
I make for New Year's. So I'm from Ohio. So down here they do, you know, black eyed peas.
Black eyed peas.
But yeah. Up there, we sauerkraut. And so every New Year's Day, pork and sauerkraut. If I don't have a bite of sauerkraut, it's good for money, I guess. Right. So if you don't have your sauerkraut, then you're going to be poor for the rest of the year.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, people over, and they'll be like, well, where's the black eyed peas? And I'll be like, no.
Yeah.
You have to have sauerkraut. And they're like, no, you're in the South. You have to have black eyed peas. So now I have to make both.
Oh, gosh. What a double hitter right there.
Yeah, the house stinks, and my wife hates sauerkraut, too. So. It's like, what the? Oh, it just smells like a big nasty socks in here.
I know.
Yeah, but it's delicious. And... I put the mashed potatoes, pork, and sauerkraut and just.
Oh, yeah.
Mix it all together.
Heck yeah. I'd rather do that than the black eyed peas thing. Maybe I'll adopt that tradition now.
Okay. You're welcome.
Sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems like
sauerkraut's really good for you. Sauerkraut's super good for you because it's fermented.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all those probiotics that are really good for your gut.
Yeah, I had a buddy who, after I'm done, he will take the leftover juice and he just puts it in a glass and drinks it.
Drinks it, yes. I mean, it's good for you, but I'm not doing it.
He loves sour beers too, though. He loves it. So, like, yeah, he'll drink. He'll buy pickles. And then he won't eat the pickles. He'll just drink the fucking juice.
So our camera guy, one of our cameramen, when we're sweating, I mean, and they're working harder than we are because they're carrying the cameras and they're just pouring and losing a lot of sweat. He'll buy a jar of pickles and keep it in the car. And he just drinks the juice right there.
For electrolytes?
Electrolytes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
He has a pack of gum next to him, too, though, right?
I don't know. I'm not getting that close to him after he does that.
Touche, Patrice. Touche.
Oh, the sour beers. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Yeah. We were in Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all those breweries. And
yep.
Sour beer is a big thing. And my description of a sour beer recently, somebody asked me. I think it was my mom asked me what they taste like in a I said it tastes like a burp. It's like a burp where you get a little vomit. Yeah.
Take that, sour beer lovers. That's what us non-sour beers.
Sorry, that's just me though.
I don't think you're that far off. I can't drink them. I don't get it at all. But on the opposite end of that, I don't like mead either because it's way too sweet.
Yeah, I've had that at a Renaissance festival.
Yeah. Yeah, you want a hangover? Drink a lot of mead.
Yeah.
That'll do it for you.
Yeah.
Like the middle ground. I like a wit or a, you know, a wheat beer.
Yeah, me too. But the short ribs that I've got cooking, I wanted a little bit of sweet, so I have that vanilla porter in there.
I love a vanilla porter.
Oh, I do too. And it's insane smelling in there. I can't go in there. My dogs are in there right now, and I'm sure they're tortured.
Oh, yeah, you're killing me just talking about it. Awesome. This has been fun.
It has. Very much. Thank you.
You want to give any shout-outs to the puppies or anything? Where can we follow you? Where can we watch the show? Et cetera, et cetera.
Just go on our website, rvthereyettv.com, and everything's on there. Click all the buttons. We've got the episodes are on there. You can click and go watch if you haven't seen them on Discovery or Motor Trend. You can find out where you can watch them. You can all the trips. So we have the Google Maps of all of the episodes that we did. We've put the trips on there. So if you liked what you saw and you want to go ride UTVs up in the Coronado National Forest, go find the Arizona episode and print out that Google Map. And, you know, you can go do everything we did. RVTheryettv.com. Just go there. Go like us on Facebook too. We love chatting with everybody. It's usually, you know, me, Kevin, and Carla are always on there talking to everybody. So, you know, it's not that we have, this is it. It's, It's a very small, what you see on TV is who's doing everything.
That's the whole crew, people.
Yeah.
That and a guy secretly drinking pickle juice on the side.
Yeah, secretly drinking pickle juice by himself. And chasing it down with his sour beer.
Yeah, that man is definitely from the north. Awesome. Go watch RV There Yet. And Patrice, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast.
And good luck on the rest of your journeys. And have fun in Maine. Take a coat.
Oh, we will. And I'll be watching you too. I've subscribed on Facebook. Oh. And I love watching your podcast and making me hungry. The oyster fucking one had me wanting seafood, so.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm blushing. Awesome. You have a wonderful rest of your day, and tell the rest of the crew that I said hello, and enjoy that dinner.
Oh, I will. Make sure you have a little schnicken before you go to the grocery store.
I'm definitely going to, or I'm just going to buy too much junk. Awesome. Thanks, Patrice.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, go watch my television series, and go watch RV There Yet. Rock and roll. Cheers.